Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Adam Dubin. So first, I'd like to mention that tonight's learning is sponsored, the Refuah Shleima of Shimshon Yehuda ben Ariella. Also, as always, it's sponsored by Zev, in for the Refuah Shleima of Zev ben Leah, Dr. Zev Zelenko. And I can mention as well that all of my learning recently has been Refuah Shleima of my Rabbi Mori, Moshe Zev ben Bela. I'm happy to report with regard to that he is actually home from the ICU as of earlier this week. Mirz Hashem, he should have a continued refuah. He's still not out of the woods, but Baruch Hashem, he is in a better place. He was able to go home. So this week's parsha, as we know, is Parshas Pinchas. And is perhaps most well known for two different aspects. One, of course, is the beginning of the parsha, where the clarification of who ends up to shecht the nasi from one of the Bnei Yisrael that turns out to be Zimri, and the daughter of the Moavi Midiani nation that is Cosby, right? So turns out to be Pinchas. This is all alluded to again in the end of Parshas Balak that as we know says that Pinchas came and shechted. It isn't not mentioning the names of Zimri and Cosby, but shechted them, and then that ended the plague that had befallen the nation. But now we get to learn more about him, and that's the beginning of the parsha. And towards the end of the parsha, or middle end of the parsha, we have, of course, the laning, the Kriyas Torah that we have for the different Yom Tovim. Much of it comes in Rosh Chodesh. Much of it comes from Parshas Pinchas. I would like to focus on actually the first part of the parsha again, which is about who Pinchas really was. As we see, the first pasuk, second pasuk in the parsha, read the first two pasukim, says, "Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor." So Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, "Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Akoyin, heishi venes chamasi miyal bnei Yisrael, dekano es kanisi b'seichem v'lo achilisi es bnei Yisrael bekinasi." Right? It says that Pinchas, the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron the Kohen, caused my anger to be withdrawn from against the Bnei Yisrael by his acting zealously among them with the same zealous anger that was fitting for me to show. And therefore, did not wipe the Bnei Yisrael with the zealous anger that I would have shown. This is a perhaps perplexing introduction as to who Pinchas was. Again, at the end of last week's parsha, we didn't have any information as to who he was. But here we see that Pinchas is being described as the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen. And so many of the farshim ask, what's the purpose of this? So Rashi, first few Rashis on the Parsha, speak about why the Torah thought it necessary, so to speak, to give this lineage. So Rashi says on the Dibur HaMaskil, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen, again, Pinchas the son of Elazar, the son of Aaron HaKohen, because the Shvatim spoke disparagingly against him, saying, "Have you seen this grandson of Puti, whose mother's father used to fatten potam calves for avodah zarah purposes?" As we see in Sefer Shmos, in Perek Vav Pasuk Chaf Hei, that Elazar and his father had married a daughter of Putiel, who was identified as Yisrael. See Rashi there, as also in the Sefer Shmos, Daf Yudches Pasuk Aleph. He dared to slay this prince of one of the Nasi Yisrael. Therefore, Torah comes to connect his genealogy with Aaron, and this is Rashi based off of Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Gimel Amud Beis. And of course, the second Rashi, not what I'm focusing on, but just to mention because I think it is important to, you know, just to say that Kinaso as Kinasi, by his acting zealously, with the same zealous anger that was fitting for me to show, Rashi says, when he avenged my avenging, and he displayed the anger that I would have displayed, Rashi takes the root kina to mean action that is the outcome of feeling jealousy. This expression of kina always denotes glowing with anger to execute vengeance for something. And then Rashi quotes the term in French, to be impontement. I don't speak French. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Anyway, so getting back to our question of who was Pinchas and why did the Torah stress his lineage, Rashi says basically because it was important to denote that even though Pinchas was the son of Elazar, he was also the son of Aaron, because Aaron HaKohen was Elazar's father. And because Elazar's father, Pinchas' father, had married a daughter of Putiel, who again was considered to be Yitro, who was a Kohen of Midian, who shechted animals, calves specifically, for Avodah Zarah. And so we need to know that he's worthy of being recognized. He's not just as being the son of Elazar. Sifrei Chachamim say that at the end of Parshas Balak, the Torah already says that Pinchas is ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. So why does this point need to be stressed here again? And Rashi concluded that the Parsha stressed Pinchas' lineages again in response to the ridicule that he suffered. The Kliyakar on this pasuk says that the Shvatim ridiculed him because it was difficult to believe that a person whose own father married someone who was not born Jewish could feel genuine indignation against Zimri for having an illicit relationship with a non-Jewish woman. Likewise, Pinchas' grandfather was an idolater. Not just an idolater, but he was a Kohen, he was a priest of idolatry. So it's difficult to believe that he was genuinely disgusted by this worship of the Baal Peor. The Be'er Besada says that the Shvatim felt that the Torah only sanctions a true zealot to execute a person such as Zimri. They found it difficult to believe that Pinchas' intentions were so pure. Now, reading this opening to our Parsha, Rashi was troubled why the Torah stresses again that Pinchas was ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Again, as we mentioned just a moment ago, this was also said by the Sifrei Chachamim, cited in last week's Parsha. And Rashi answers that the Torah traces his lineage to Aaron for a second time because the Shvatim ridiculed by saying that have you seen the descendant of Puti, whose mother's father fattened the calves for Avodah Zarah, and yet he killed the leader of one of the Shvatim. So this prompts a couple of questions. Surely, fattening cows for the purpose of Avodah Zarah is a much less serious crime than the actual worship of Avodah Zarah, which is heresy. So why did the Shvatim merely taunt Pinchas that his grandfather fattened cows when they could have stressed that Yisro actually worshipped Avodah Zarah? Every Avodah Zarah that existed. A second question, why does Rashi stress that Yisro was Pinchas' mother's father and not simply his grandfather? Third, surely Pinchas' act of vengeance was a personal affront only to Shevet Shimon, whose leader, Zimri, Pinchas had killed. We would presume, however, that the other Shvatim would be thankful for Pinchas' speedy action that stopped the brazen act of public indecency and halted the plague. saving many of their lives. So on what basis did Rashi conclude that all the Shvatim ridiculed Pinchas? And the fourth question is, did the Shvatim feel that Pinchas acted within the bounds of halacha or not? If they felt that Pinchas was legally justified in his actions because if someone cohabits with a non-Jewish woman in public, then a zealot has every right to strike him, says Rashi in last week's Parsha, then what was their complaint? And if they felt that this halacha only applies to a true zealot who feels real righteous indignation, and Pinchas didn't fall in this category, as the Be'er Besada we mentioned writes, then it follows that in their opinion, Pinchas had no right to kill Zimri. Why then did they not criticize Pinchas for spilling innocent blood, rather than stressing the fact that his grandfather fattened cows for Avodah Zarah? To offer an explanation, in his commentary to Pasuk Vav at the end of Parshas Balak, Rashi explains that why everybody was weeping rather than taking action at Zimri's brazenness. The halacha was concealed from him, from Moshe Rabbeinu, so they all burst out in tears. At the incident of the Egel Zahav, Moshe Rabbeinu stood up against 600,000 people. But here, he seemed helpless. However, this was orchestrated just so that Pinchas could come and take the reward that he deserved. Now, the Shvatim could not possibly have known or even imagined that Hashem had concealed this halacha from Moshe in order to reward Pinchas. So why then, when they saw that Moshe chose not to act at the end of that Pinchas took action in Moshe's presence, they were outraged. How could Pinchas have been so disrespectful? There's an iser of passing in front of your Rebbe. And not just the disrespectful of Moshe, but also the other zikanim, other sages, who were surely aware of the halacha but did not take any action. Pinchas had disgraced Moshe and the others by acting as if he alone was willing to take the vengeance for Hashem. The fact that Moshe did not have Pinchas sentenced by the Beis Din for murder ultimately proved that Pinchas was legally justified in his actions. Nevertheless, the Shvatim felt that Pinchas had acted disrespectfully to Moshe, since they were unaware that the halacha had been concealed from him by Hashem. This led them to feel contempt for Pinchas, as they desired to defend Moshe Rabbeinu's kavod. And clearly, Moshe's kavod was something that concerned all the Shvatim, not just Shevet Shimon. To the Shvatim, the disrespectful nature of Pinchas's actions indicated that he had not acted entirely out of a moral necessity, but that he had allowed the undesirable aspect of his personality to become unleashed. Pinchas, they concluded, was not a pure moralist, but rather somewhat of an opportunist. Jumping to Shech Zimri before Moshe had decided on the appropriate course of action suggested that Pinchas had a sadistic disposition and simply reveled in the opportunity to spill blood as soon as halacha permitted him to do so. Where was the proof of the Shvatim? Rashi explains their line of thinking. Have you seen the descendants of Puti, whose mother's father fattened calves for Avodah Zarah? The Shvatim could not bring proof from the fact that Yisro, or Puti, was an Avodah Zaranik, that worshipped Avodah Zarah, in general, because Avodah Zarah is an ideological mistake which is not inherited by one's children. Rather, they stressed that Yisro had a cruel, sadistic nature and that he fattened cows only in order to shech them for Avodah Zarah. That is, he was really into animal cruelty. And since a cruel disposition can be inherited, it follows, argued the Shvatim, that Pinchas' opportunist killing must be an expression of a tendency to cruelty inherited from his grandfather. On the other hand, they argued the person that Pinchas had killed was inherently kind, a person, he was a leader of a shevet who cared for the needs of his people. In fact, Zimri did what he did in an albeit misguided attempt to prove that it was permissible to cohabit with a non-Jewish woman so as to save his shevet from being punished for doing the same thing. See, Rashi in last week's parsha. This point served to further the Shvatim's argument. For who but a cruel, sadistic person would kill a Nasi Yisrael who cared so much for his people? In fact, they argued, don't nice people just bring out the worst and nasty people who cannot bear the fact that somebody could be genuinely good-natured? A serious flaw in the Shvatim's argument was that in addition to being the grandson of Yisrael, Pinchas was also the grandson of Aaron HaKohen. So how can we be sure that he inherited the negative qualities of Yisrael and not the positive qualities of Aaron HaKohen? In answer to this point, the Shvatim stressed that Yisrael was Pinchas' mother's father. By nature, a boy's disposition is most similar to that of his mother, and a girl to that of her father. A fact that we learned on, in one of Rashi's comments back in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Mem Vav Pasuk Tes Vav, that males are attributed to Leah, whereas females are attributed to Yaakov, to teach that if a woman emits first seed, then she'll give birth to a male, and if the man does, then it'll be female. Again, this is not a scientific discussion. This is Rashi's parish. It is not not to be taken in our understanding. Anyway, thus the Shvatim wished to argue that Pinchas would have inherited the disposition of his maternal and not paternal grandfather. Rashi therefore explains that the Torah traces his lineage to Aaron HaKohen, indicating that Pinchas actually inherited the true nature of Aaron, who was an Oyev Shalom Verodev Shalom, who brought out peace between people who were fighting with each other to love each other. And this was proof that Pinchas' intentions had indeed been pure, had been proper. I think an important lesson we can all learn from this is to not jump to conclusions. No matter what we're doing in life, it's important to not jump to conclusions. Always try to see the best in others. It may not always be so simple, but if we attempt to do so, then Emir Teshem will be able to see the best in others and not be bogged down by negativity. And Emir Teshem, by doing so, will be able to influence others in a positive way as well by showing example. By keeping to doing mitzvahs, and by as we mentioned previously, one of the most important mitzvahs that we can think of categories has been aram lechaveru, between man and man, and treating each other with the proper respect, proper kavod, not jumping to conclusions. That is one of the most important things we can do. Mirza Shem, by doing so, we will hasten the arrival of the Yemos Mashiach. May it be v'mhir v'yameinu, speedily in our days. I wish everyone a good Shabbos.